business. I don't wanna get religious, litigious. Get out of our business. You say you wanna fix this, then fix it and get out of our business.
That was Business by Roman Minerals.
That's fabulous.
I know, it was part of our, I guess, that was a little funky jam, man. I was like gigging up in here in the studio doing the thing. So thank you for being back with us. Everything's Not Black and White podcast with Lala and Brian. Today we have two amazing guests with us, friends that we have had for quite some time now, and they have such a beautiful love story that we are going to bring to your ears today. My very, very, very good friends, Jade Berry and Autumn Theodore. Welcome, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you both here, just really sharing with our beautiful audience your beautiful story. And so I really want to talk about, you know, our story today is around beyond the binary, love, transition, and family. And so I love this so much, you know, having a blended interracial family ourselves and understanding having, you know, two LGBTQIA kids and our youngest being transgender. It is very near and dear to our heart for people to really understand and see our babies for who they are. And so we're so grateful that you all are here to talk about your love story with us. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course, absolutely. So I'd love to start with you, Jade, and can you kind of share a little bit about the moment you felt empowered to really embrace your true self, and how did Autumn support you through this journey?
Yeah, so I'll try to keep this from being a crazy long story, but I think what's interesting in the trans community is there are a lot of folks who feel like they've always known or have always known since they were, you know, really, really young. But then there's also a lot of us who didn't have language for it and didn't know exactly, like there were things about us that were different. We just felt like we didn't fit in, but we didn't exactly know why. And I'm definitely in that category. So I definitely want to bring some visibility to that because that type of story isn't often shared in the trans community. I think when you say a moment, I think for me, there wasn't really one moment, right? Like it's been a journey. Ever since I was a kid, I started, like, I grew my hair out when I was 12. I wore my sister's clothes a lot. She credits me with being the reason she had a straightening iron because I actually got one first. And, you know, just like all of that stuff was a part of my life, but I wasn't in a safe place to be able to explore those things further. And so there were often, like, when I played in my band in high school, it was like the time when I'd wear eyeliner and, like, you know, really express how I felt, but didn't have that safety in other places. And so it really wasn't until the last few years that I felt that safety in my life to start figuring this stuff out more. And so a couple of moments that really stand out to me, one of the earliest ones was Queer Eye, which is like such a basic, you know, like, I don't know, a show to like, to kind of think about these things through. But there's an episode with a trans person, I'm trying to remember, I'm blanking on their name right now. Hold on.
Angel.
Angel, thank you. And just kind of going through the story of their relationship at the time and kind of working through this together. And I like started bawling. Like Autumn and I were watching on the couch together and I just started bawling. And I didn't know why. And I wasn't sure why this episode was touching me in this way. But I like, the story just really hit me hard. And that was a really key moment for me. And then the pandemic was really what kind of kickstarted that journey for me, where we were all at home and I could kind of like explore things differently. And being at Cover My Meds, the company I work for, having, you know, some really good friends, shout out to my friend Anne and my friend Joe, who both were so supportive throughout this whole journey. When I just started to, you know, try different things and just kind of explore myself a little bit and read more and learned about the concept of being non-binary, which was a new thing for me. And that really resonated with me and at the time. And I was like, this fits, because I've always felt weird. I've always felt like I don't fit into these boxes. And then I kind of stopped there for a while and felt like that was the end of my journey. Like, this is me. And then after some time passed, I started reading more and seeing other people's stories and talking to more people. and realize like this isn't the end for me. Like I'm a woman. And that was, yeah, after going through months of depression and like trying to figure out why, I finally came to that conclusion. The other part of your question about Autumn's support, I think along the entire journey, Autumn has been so supportive of me, and it's taken, there have been hard times. We've had to have a lot of conversations and work through, you know, different pieces of this and what it looks like. And it being a gradual thing, I think, has been helpful and also been, you know, felt very ambiguous to Autumn, which I'm sure you'll talk about a little bit. But Autumn has really been by my side through the whole thing and made me feel really safe. And I can't imagine being in a relationship like a lot of folks are, where your partner is like, this isn't what I signed up for, this isn't what I want. And to feel that abandonment alongside going through all of this would be such a challenge. So yeah, everything from like, you know, sticking up for me when there's a weird family conversation, or, you know, using my, just as simple as using my name and pronouns, it's a thing mm-hmm. that can be stressful in certain family situations, right? So yeah, Autumn has just been such a great support along the way. And I've felt so loved by her through this journey.
Well, I have to say really quickly is what I can tell people that I have not had to help with at all in this process is makeup, because I literally want to learn makeup from you at this point, and we haven't done that yet. So that's not something I've had to help with at all.
I love that. And I'm always such a fan of people feeling safe where they are. You know, Aji's journey has been so important for us as a family, and making sure that we create this safe space for them to really show up authentically, and in some cases champion them with our own family members. So we completely understand that process so much. And so I love that you feel safe in your relationship, because that is such a big deal. For you to feel like, I can make mistakes here and I'm okay. I can learn and I'm okay. I can be myself and I'm okay. Those are things that are just beautiful that you can say you have. So I am so grateful for that.
My best friend, who has also been a huge, my number one fan through all of this and really helped me through this, put it really well that, Andrew is his name, put it really well that there's a day that I was really struggling with the idea of like, why didn't I figure this out a lot sooner? Like, why didn't I process through this when I was younger? Like, now I'm like, you know, in my mid 30s and like on hormones and like going through all this stuff mm-hmm. that like most people get to go through in their teenage years. And he was like, your subconscious kept you from processing these things at that time because you weren't safe. And there's never been a time in your life where you've been this safe to be able to figure this out. And just, yeah, very beautiful way of putting it. And I think something that I know there are a lot of folks out there that are in a similar position that, you know, may feel frustrated that they didn't figure this out sooner. And
people always say that, like, oh, I wish I'd have done this sooner. You weren't ready sooner. You're ready now. And so exactly. I think that's always such a beautiful thing, is to think, I didn't miss anything because I wasn't ready before. Now you're ready. And I think that's beautiful. I love it. I love it. So Autumn, I really want to talk to you. Like, what has this experience really taught you about love and partnership, especially in the context of supporting Jade through her transition?
So I will give a little bit of context about my personal life pre-Jade was that I had never been in a long-term relationship. So this is my first time doing that. And so that means that there's no normal for me. And I mean that in a great way, because I think expectations for different people in your life are not fair for a lot of reasons. But what I have confirmed that I always expected in a relationship, and I mean expected like, oh, thought that would happen, but also being like expecting it of someone else, is just that consistent support and commitment that I've always felt from her. Mm-hmm. And I have desired the entire time that we've been together, regardless of what difficult things we were talking about, whether it was something like this or something else, I've always desired to remain committed to her. And regardless of what's happening, I've never wanted to not be with her. Like, I always want to be with you. And so there are different ways to support people. And I think a few ways to look at it is you can actively support someone, you can passively support someone, and there's a lot of space in between. And what I mean by that is, especially towards the beginning, there were hard times. I am not used to this. I think a lot of people aren't used to having this happen in your family or even to a friend. And so this is brand new to me. And this is a lot of learning for me and figuring out ways to support her. And to be honest, some of those ways to support her were being a little bit passive and maybe letting her lead with how she was feeling in the moment. It wasn't up to me to tell her story. It wasn't up to me to tell her when it's time to change your pronouns and how I talk to you. I was truly just following her preferences because that's what I felt like was what I could do in the time. I feel like the more active things that I have done is I have done reading. I've listened to podcasts. We went to the State House a couple months ago for House Bill 68, which was happening, which was really difficult for both of us to be there. It was an experience that we never wanted to have to be attending, but we found a lot of wonderful people who were sitting near us and, you know, supporting with love in the same way that we wanted to. And so it was really hard to leave when the bill was passed, and sitting in our cars crying was really difficult for us. But there are many ways to actively support, and that's a few, alongside, of course, always making sure to stand up for her when talking to anybody else, to my friends, to people who don't know her, to people who have questions. It's always standing up for someone to make sure that they are heard when they're not even the ones in the room. And so I've felt that my commitment has come out in some of those ways.
You mentioned House Bill 68. Can you explain to our listeners a little bit about what that bill was?
Yeah, so it's 68, and then I'm blanking on the number. There were two that were kind of going at the same time, mm-hmm. and then they ended up getting combined into one. But essentially, the Reader's Digest version was around providing gender-affirming care for youth. The frustrating thing is really specifically about trans youth. There's lots of gender-affirming care that's Absolutely. Provided to youth that are outside of the trans community. Mm-hmm. And this bill was specific to target a very small community of trans youth. Sorry, it's hard to talk about. And take that away from them and also scare folks, because there are a lot of things that were in that bill that already don't happen. And there were folks from Nationwide Children's and Cincinnati Children's and other hospital systems in the state that testified and said, we don't do these sorts of things. We don't do surgeries on minors. We don't, the things that these senators were saying as a part of this don't happen.
I think it's, I don't want to get too much on a sidetrack politically, but I think it's interesting. Ohio, in the state of Ohio, trans people make up 0.51% of the community. And the trans youth make even a smaller number mm-hmm. than that. But for whatever point, you know, they got the conservative parties, no matter which party's in charge, has always had the ideology of having a boogeyman, you know, someone to go after. Because policies, you're not creating new policies. So you got to create something to get your audience riled up. And it makes me sad that they're targeting such young kids who honestly are just trying to get better. And we as parents know the procedures that you have to go through the process you have to go through to get any kind of medical treatment. And it is daunting.
Yes.
And it starts off with counseling first, you know, after talking to your doctor, then it's counseling, months and months of counseling.
Years.
Yeah.
It was almost 3 years of counseling Augie had to go through before anything ever happened.
And that's what's years. So frustrating about these bills is that, so yeah, kids just at the point of feeling the safety, the psychological safety to be able to start pursuing who they really are and embracing that and finding, you know, medical help and support in that area. Even just the fact that they heard about these bills, even when they do get struck down, that makes them feel like there's this other burden that keeps them from pursuing it. And so the damage in a lot of ways is already done, even when we overturn these things. So just the fact that these things are put out there are really damaging.
We had the honor of Augie winning a scholarship here in the state of Ohio. We got to go to Mike DeWine's office. And at the time, Augie had started binding at that point. So Augie was in the beginning stages of transitioning. And then it kind of caught me off guard when all these bills started coming out. And then I kept looking at this picture we took with DeWine. And I was like, he's good enough to stand next to Augie while they're getting their scholarship. But yet here's all of his counterparts creating all these bills against Augie.
We've seen it before Obama passed marriage equality. It was the same thing. And then it's like it's targeting a smaller community because not a lot of people know a trans person and have a trans person in their lives.
I think one of the most devastating things that I heard, and I don't know why this necessarily stood out to me, but whenever we were hearing all of the news that was happening, and Jade, feel free to speak up if I'm not saying this correctly, but I feel like somewhere in the legislative process, they talked about teachers or people in schools having to basically, if they were the first ones to figure out about trans youth, have to let parents know. And that to me...
There have been a number of
states. There's a reason. Yeah. There's a reason that those children have not told their parents because they do not feel safe.
Right.
And so the fact that people, adults in their lives, now have to out them to their family where they do not feel safe, they have to go home that night and go to sleep.
Right.
Yeah. I can't.
That's got to be terrifying.
That is terrifying. And so that's pretty devastating that that could be part of a law.
I mean, mm-hmm.
And this is why I literally tell people all the time, you have to be involved in politics.
Absolutely.
People will say, oh, I don't get involved in politics. Then you don't live. Like, politics is literally your house, your car, the food you buy in a grocery store, your job. Like, it's everything. So for you to say, I don't get involved in politics, meaning you're not living.
Exactly. Yeah, and there are a number of folks that will also say, I don't like to get into those things because it's politics. And even that, I'm like, you're very fortunate to not...
Correct.
For me, it's my life. Mm-hmm. It's not politics. This isn't political. This is my living.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, Jade, because I saw a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in a long time. And she's been out of work for a couple years and just kind of doing her thing. And I said, you know, it's so scary what's happening in politics right now. She goes, what's happening? I'm like, are you not paying attention? She's like, oh, I don't get involved in that. I said, it must be a luxury that you can ignore what's happening. Like, and I will say, she's a cisgender white woman. God bless her. But she doesn't have to if she doesn't want to. And I'm like, that's a luxury.
Dare I say it's a privilege?
It is that. So, you know, I've been an activist my whole life. I will be an activist to the last breath in my body. And that's just the way it is. You know, even if it didn't directly affect me, any oppression, any discrimination affects me. I am about liberation for all people. So I cannot sit idly by and watch somebody not have the best life they can have. And I can do something about it. Absolutely not.
And I've always loved that about you.
That's why everybody loves you so much. I can't even.
Hey, I'm over here too.
Listen, calm yourself down, boy. This is my show.
I mean, she was the one talking right then. If you want to say more, we will say how much we love you as well.
Thank you. He needs constant affirmation, y'all. Welcome to my life. You both are so beautiful inside and out, and I love you both so much. You know, you've navigated changes in your relationship dynamic. So I would love to hear, like, what have been some of the most significant adjustments that you've made, and how have you managed them together? Because that's really important.
So I have said that over time, there have been things that are a little bit difficult. In hindsight, it's more that they might have surprised me in the moment. And then I look back and I'm like, was that a big deal? Like, did that? Mm-hmm. Was that not okay? And so I think that that's part of this process, is learning little bits at a time and allowing myself to process internally and speak with Jade about it has truly been a huge part, I think, of what has made us successful in this process to get to where we are now, is just talking about reactions as respectfully as possible. We both are quite talkative people who know how to say a lot of things in a small amount of time. And so while that's not always the best thing, I think that it's been helpful in just talking about what's happening, how things change, the best way to go about doing something or talking about something. And so I think that that consistency over time, again, there have been hard days, but it has been truly helpful to have this incremental process of change rather than anything that actually felt drastic.
One of the things that we learned early on is that understanding each other's perspective is so important, like the pace of things. For me, everything felt so slow. Like, hormones take forever, and like name change paperwork takes forever. And for Autumn, it's like learning about this stuff is for her the same as it happening. Like, it's like learning that this is going to happen is the big drop of news for her. Whereas for me, I'm like, this is taking forever and this couldn't move any slower. And so like making sure that we were having those conversations about those things to understand each other's perspective, where I might be feeling like, oh, this is moving at a snail's pace and she's feeling like the pace of this is insane. Making sure that we were aware of that throughout was really important. Yeah. And I think the other thing on that note too, that I think found that was really helpful for us is talking to other people about things too. Mm-hmm. Autumn mm-hmm. connected with a few folks who had gone through very similar things. Pretty easy online to get into different communities and find people virtually or locally who have gone through the same thing. And you know, we're also open to that for people that want to talk more about going through this. And sometimes you need, like I've needed to go to some of my friends who have transitioned to talk about some things that like Autumn may not understand and may never understand. And that's okay. And I'm not ever going to fully empathize with the experience of a partner going through their partner transitioning. And so there are just things that like sometimes you have to go to other people to get that perspective and to vent. And that's okay. That's okay. Like we're not meant to go through all of this, you know, on our own, right?
Yeah.
And absolutely. I've had that question so many times recently in so many different ways about how a lot of people don't realize until later in life sometimes that no one person in your life is meant to be everything for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if that is the case for some people, I don't think that that's a problem. I just don't think that it's realistic if that's what you're going for and not finding it. Yeah. And so I think finding that support in different ways is great. Mm-hmm. And then you can go to that person and know that in this specific way, you feel the same or you can vent to them or whatever. And so that has been me realizing that in the past couple years, almost like in preparation for this, has been really helpful because it didn't make me feel like finding support in other people was separating us. Yeah. Like I didn't feel like that was like me stepping away only finding support from others. It was me literally needing to hear from other people who have gone through my process and successfully have stayed together for years. That was just really helpful. And it's not because I ever wanted to leave Jade. This was never something I considered, but it was great to hear that other people felt that exact same way of, yeah, I never wanted to leave. Like, we're in love. We are committed to each other and we want to be together. Like, and this is just what it feels like to sometimes go through the hard times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hearing that from other people, it was just a really wonderful confirmation that like everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we can totally relate. We had dinner guest one night and they have both of their born sons, but they've transitioned to female now. And it was the first time we've had dinner with someone who's been through the same process that we have been through. And we're so ecstatic because all of the challenges we have faced, they have faced too. And it gave us a sense of comfort as parents, like, yeah, we're doing the right thing. We're being supportive. And seeing them and seeing the worries and the fears that they have are the same that we have, then it made us understand that the process is working out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting for us, too, because, you know, obviously Brian being a cancer survivor and when he was going through the thick of what he was going through, I could only meet him so far, right? Because I'm not a cancer survivor, right? So I kept saying to him, like, baby, I can only take you so far. You need to talk to other people who are going through cancer so you can get that validation and that understanding, because I can only understand as a partner. I can't understand the process, you know? So we went through that together, and he had to go talk to people, and I had to go talk to the caregivers, you know, to help me understand what is this process, and vice versa when I go through my neurodiversity, because I struggle with ADHD, anxiety, and depression, and he had to read so much about ADHD and anxiety and depression to say, how can I support her the best way I can? And it's been a transition for all of us, right? So I love all of this because it's just about relationships, right?
Exactly.
And being able to be what you need to be for your partner and making sure you find the resources and the outlets and all those things, right? And so that's just a part of growing together as a relationship.
So it's so funny. We went through the exact same, like Autumn with her cancer and myself with my own ADHD, like same
I
exact
feel
things.
Like we're and all that, in the same situation.
That,
right
that
now.
Really like prepared us, I think. Like, and we've talked about that many times. That we had the exact same experience with Autumn's cancer. That like I had to talk to other people. Like I couldn't go to the person going through the worst of it and go like, how do I take care of myself? Like help me with that, right? Like mm-hmm. like I needed to find other people to help give me that support.
Yeah, it's great that you're both open to communication from other people, because some people just kind of keep it in-house, and that's not always the best way or effective
for
way.
For sure.
So, Jade, you know, transitioning with children from a previous relationship, you know, presents obviously unique challenges and also beautiful moments that you can have together. So can you share how your children have adapted and in what this shift has meant for your family?
It's been really great. When I first came out to them, they were so excited. My daughter especially, like, cheered and was like, I get to have two moms. And just like so excited. If there's one thing I've learned about kids, it's that they just, like, everything is new to them. Yes. And they're so open-minded about things, especially this generation. Mm-hmm. So we try to just make sure they feel safe to ask anything and talk about anything they want to talk about.
You know, same for us. You know, we have a blended family. You know, when Brian and I got together, Jason was 10 and Aji was 6. And for the benefit of Aji, I was completely a single parent and Brian was previously married. So trying to come together was definitely an interesting dynamic. And then you add the interracial piece on top of that. So it was a lot of learning that we had to do even as a family coming into that and dealing with even some of our own family's apprehension to us being married outside of each other's race, right? Yeah. So that's that's a thing still in 2009, which is when we got married. That's still a thing. It was still a thing in his early years that we went through. And we even found that in people. Like one of the days Brian was in, going in for his cancer treatment, we end up sitting down in this chair. This gentleman was sleeping in the chair next to us. He woke up and looked and saw us, got up and went to the other side of the room.
Oh, my God.
Like literally got, I'm like, dude, you're either here for cancer treatment or you're here for somebody for cancer treatment and you're worried about us being here? Like seriously? It's wild.
So there's all kinds of people out there, but there's definitely a certain generation that really has a hard time coming to grips that people may be different.
I'm glad that you said that. I don't want to be the person to call out generations because I don't necessarily mm-hmm. think it's about, like, I'm not going to say one generation, but I think it is interesting to have different conversations, at least from my standpoint, of mm-hmm. people roughly in different ages. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm constantly having to tell those people whenever they're like, but how are the kids doing?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. right. If they're like, how are you doing? I respond and I tell them, you know, we're good and things are sometimes difficult, et cetera, et cetera. And then they always do the pause. But how are the kids doing? Yeah, and right. I'm like, actually, they're doing better than literally anybody.
Yeah. Literally.
Because first of all, one of Posey's best friend, his older brother is a trans kid.
Love it.
And in their school, there are more trans kids in their school.
100%.
So this is not this new thing to them that mm-hmm. they've never experienced. This is actually the opposite of new to them. They've experienced right. all of this before. And so Jade coming out is not this thing that is a one-time thing for them. And so knowing that, kind of thinking about our own lives growing up and what was maybe difficult or weird or different for us and how maybe our parents didn't feel that way, right? Like yeah. maybe our parents had some hesitations that we did not understand. We're like, why do you have this hesitation if this is totally normal for us? It's the same thing with them.
Yes.
So there are now, you know, in our mid-30s, I think that we are probably going to have hesitations about what the younger generation thinks is normal and fine.
Sure.
And I would like to say that I never feel that way, but I will because I'm a human.
Right.
And learning is something that I hope to do my whole life. And I think that that's exactly what we're seeing right now is just potentially some people at different ages who did not have anything like this experience and they
yeah.
don't currently know anybody in this experience. And so, of course, in a lot of ways, people are most concerned about children in different situations, which I understand, yeah. but they're doing better than the rest of us. So.
Yeah, that's something that I think about a lot when it comes to this stuff. Having grown up in a conservative evangelical household, mm-hmm. grew up religious, and then, you know, having a very different perspective on most of those things now, I have a lot of respect for people that come from that space and really understand the different information bubble that you're in and the different things that you're exposed to. And it's really easy for, like, I truly can't understand someone who the only thing that they know about trans people is that they're this scary like other. Mm-hmm. And there's like the things that Fox News says, and like if that's all that you know, then sure, like that's, you're going to feel uncomfortable. I don't know. I try to encourage people to think about that versus just like turning it, everyone into a villain, right? Because right. It's like people just need to hear more stories, be exposed to more.
Exposure, yes.
Yeah.
Even ourselves, we were not exposed as much as we probably would have liked to have been. But once Ozzy started going through the transition, you know, we became intensely exposed, and we've had to learn, and I've had to learn quite a bit through the process. And in the process of learning, I've learned really just how much false information's truly out there. And it's disturbing when you hear, I feel empathetic towards trans women because they seem to be the focus, trans men not so much. And you always hear, well, I don't want a trans woman in my daughter's bathroom or this and that. And it's always a trans woman that they're focusing on. But I'm like, so I'm going to send my trans man kid into the female bathroom? That's what you want, with somebody with a, you know, potentially a beard and a mustache to walk in? Like you're not really critically thinking about the process. And I think the more exposure and the more opportunity people get to kind of critically think about it, it'll be better for everybody.
Not to mention, I tell people all the time, like, do you have a male and a female bathroom in your house? Everybody uses the same damn bathroom. Mm-hmm. Good God, it's a bathroom.
The bathroom bills are it's
a dumb.
It's a whole thing. That, and it, what's really insane about it is even in places where it's not happening or hasn't happened yet, like my sister has been in the hospital lately, and like I have to kind of like, if there's a hospital or a bathroom that's like in a waiting area, I have to kind of look around and go like, who's in the waiting room? And like, is this going to be something like, or do I have to hold it until I get home? Because like, I don't feel safe here to use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Ozzy, same way.
Yeah.
Same way.
Ozzy has never followed me into the restroom. Ozzy always uses a family restroom or tries to find, like you said, a moment where they can go do their thing without having to worry about the criticisms or judgment.
So, and safety. Honestly, from a safety perspective. You know, like, I don't want anything happening to anybody who just wants to use the goddamn bathroom.
Well, and Jade makes such great points and humorously makes jokes about things, because whenever we talk about these things, it's kind of like the question back to somebody you would, I mean, if I were Jade, I would want to say this, is, okay, do you want to, actually, can I see your genitals?
Right.
Just to confirm. Like, right. She makes that joke sometimes, and I find it very hilarious because people truly are not thinking.
They're not.
If you are calling someone out in the bathroom, which I also think doesn't actually happen, I think it's just a fear that people talk about happening.
Right.
I actually don't know of it happening. But what is going to happen in that process? Like, all right, so now we show each other's genitals to confirm what's happening. Like,
right.
What?
Right. You know, so we've been talking about it a little bit, too, with the political and legislative climate, right? And so I'm always telling people, pay attention to what legislation is happening. Use your voice and vote. But, like, how have you been affected personally and as a family just going through these different bills that keep happening? And what are the coping strategies that you have that you've found that actually are helpful for you?
Yeah, I think it's different for everybody, and different people have different capacities. I'm like you, where I, like, have to stay engaged, and I've been an activist for a while on a lot of different fronts, and not knowing and not being engaged in that, there have been waves I've gone through where I'm like, okay, I need to like maybe not volunteer for as many political campaigns and work on as many boards, but like, so it ebbs and flows at times, but I need that. But I know there are some people that are like, I need to disconnect for a while and not be, because they know that's what they need in order to be able to give. So it's different for everybody, but it is really hard to hear these things. It was, you know, when we were at the state house a number of times over the last few months because of all the bills that have been happening, it's both very trying, but also the sense of community there, the number of folks that show up to support, and how there's no one there except for a think tank from DC for the other side. It just makes you realize how much these are media narratives that make us feel like there's this other that's like so against us. And in reality, as time goes on, I've started to believe more that this is truly mostly a media narrative that's making us feel unsafe. And it is very much unsafe in certain places. And that media narrative is spurring some of that lack of safety. But there isn't this massive other that's against us. Mm-hmm. It's mostly this political concept. And so going to those things, being involved in those things, can be very empowering and help you feel more supportive, I think. And then the other thing is, this is not something I would typically tell people when it comes to your media diet. I think it's good to have like a very diverse media diet. But if you're someone who is transitioning, or if you're someone who is going through anything where you are in a minority, I think it can be really valuable to watch what media you choose to consume. Yeah. One great example was Transgender Day of Visibility. On the same day it is every year, this year happened to be when Easter fell. And the number of people that reached out to me like, I hope you're doing okay today, like with everything everyone's saying about this. And I didn't see any of it. All I saw was trans joy in my feed. So many people like, you know, celebrating themselves, celebrating their friends. That was all I saw on my social media. And it was such a wonderful day of that. I didn't see any of that bullshit because, sorry, you probably don't.
Oh, you're fine.
I didn't see any of that.
Baby, we cuss all the time.
Okay, all right.
Welcome. Come on.
I didn't see any of that in my feed at all. I didn't see a single person going like, why is this on Easter? You know, like I didn't see that. I only heard people talking about it happening.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, choosing what you consume can, you can still get the information that you need without it being something that tears you down.
Yeah. Yes. I love that you say that, because I sometimes feel like when people are in an echo chamber and they feel like it's all doomsday, everything is so bad happening. And I tell people all the time, like, I'm about being in communities where I see such beautiful things happening. And so I say, it's not as bad as people think it is. I mean, there's things that are bad, don't get me wrong, but there's so much more love and support and activism that's happening that if you're looking for it, you'll find it. But if you're not, you're just in this literally doom scrolling. Everything is just bad, bad, bad. And you think it's worse than it is. And that's why I tell people all the time, I say, I have so much hope because I'm surrounded by people who I know are doing the right thing, who are championing these rights for all of us to live our best lives no matter what. And it's so beautiful to me, and it feels really good to me. And I always want to laud those and put those up, because it's like, otherwise you'd feel hopeless and you just want to go hide in a corner somewhere. And I'm like, yeah, I'm never hiding. I'm just going to be out there doing the thing anyway. Absolutely. So that's just what I do, you know.
Yeah, we had the whole George Floyd thing that happened, law really went kind of through it. Now we're kind of going through the trans thing right now.
Yeah.
And it's emotional. I think to protect yourself from the noise sometimes, it's definitely a good thing.
So I want to just kind of bring it around. Like, what is the message that you really would like to share with our listeners who may be navigating their own journey right now and just want to understand what it means to support a loved one of theirs that might be going through this?
Yeah, so I think for folks that might be navigating this with other people in their life, I think one of the best things to do is to find community online, like we talked about earlier, online, in person. There are about 14,000 Facebook groups. That's the only thing I use Facebook for now anymore is Facebook groups. But there are so many for trans folks, for caregivers, for folks who have a partner that's transitioning, and there's subreddits. That's actually where a lot of my own figuring this out came from. There's a subreddit of transgender, like, before and after photos that, like, I was seeing all these photos and I was like, I want that. I love that. Like, oh my God, this is like, and I was like crying, just sobbing through, looking through all these pictures. Yeah. And like, I think for folks supporting people, I think that's really useful. Just finding that community. There are like Discord servers out there if you're into that sort of thing. Facebook groups. There are a lot of great resources online too, through Equitas here locally if you're in Columbus, and Trans Ohio for folks in Ohio. They're both great resources. They have a lot of stuff for folks going through this. Kaleidoscope Youth Center. So many great places in Columbus that have lots of published materials online to help through this, and lots of great guides online. If you just like Google some of this, there are a lot of great guides for like how to help your child go through this, how to help your family member, you know, whoever it is. But I also want to speak to the folks who are transitioning too in your community, or who are considering it. Everything I just said is even more important for folks going through this, that like you need that community, because a lot of times it can feel like you're alone and there's nobody else that understands you. I don't have a ton of more and more as each day goes on, but when I first started processing all of this, I only had a handful of gender fluid friends in my life. And it can feel really isolating and feel like nobody really understands you, because it's a thing that's really hard to explain to someone that isn't going through it, because so much of it is internal and hard to put words to. So find that community. It's extremely important. And I think for the last thing I'll say for folks with a family member or a friend or someone that's going through this is to just listen and be there for them. Let them be open with you, hear them out, and just try to be open-minded to them. Even if it feels scary, if you're concerned about how they'll be treated at school or in their workplace, you might be the only person that they have that's listening and that they feel they can trust. So you just be that person for them.
And I feel too that those are all fantastic examples of what people can do, whether they are in your position or a supporting person's position. I have had wonderful support from pretty much everybody in my life. There, of course, have been hesitations from people. Mm-hmm. They will support me forever, but maybe they had some hesitations about my choices in this level of support that I desire to give Jade. And my recommendation is maybe just spend a little bit less time with those people. You have to spend time with people who are supporting you exactly in the way that you need from them.
Yes.
And so I haven't lost any friends. I haven't really had any large relationship changes, you know, with my friends or family or anything like that. But if I notice that somebody was a little hesitant, maybe I'm just not spending a lot of time with them right now. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that everybody gets used to information or knowledge about new people in different ways. And so perhaps we're part of that for them. And I think as we all, as humans, learn about new things, then we become better people. Yeah. And I think that there's not really a should or have to way to go about doing this. I think it's just making sure that you always feel supported by those around you.
Yes.
And I'm not saying to kick anybody out of your relationship unless you truly feel like that is what you need to do, and that's fine. I have never desired to have people not be my friends anymore or really question them. It's really about what I need, and so I just find the people who give me what I need right now. Yeah. And that's been
family is so important.
That's right. That's
right. Incredibly important. We say that all the time. We choose the family that we have. It's Absolutely. Not just have to be blood related. That's not a requirement. So if people want to get in touch with you all, how can they do that?
Yeah, I'm Jade Berry on Instagram with two Y's because there's some other Jade Berry out there.
Can't also, believe it. The nerve. I know.
It's B-A-R-R-Y. I feel like you always have to say that. It's not B-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah.
Like strawberry, but not. Like, like Berry, like Barack Obama, Berry.
And then Roman Minerals, my band, we have a new single. And hopefully later this year, we're going to start playing shows. So yeah, check us out. We're on Instagram, TikTok, all those places. Just kind of, we're kind of getting started here. So
then how do people get in touch with you, Autumn?
So I am a commercial photographer, and people can find me. Honestly, it's great that Autumn Theodore is like, if you Google that, I think I'm the only one in the entire world when you put those two words together. So it's very easy to find me online. I don't spend a ton of time on Instagram, but should you like to follow me there, it's Autumn Theodore Photography. Find me on my website, and you can also Google some of my work just to see what I do.
And you do beautiful work, both of you, so much. We are so honored. Thank you both for being here today. It was so beautiful just to hear your love story and hopefully giving people hope for their own lives that they can also live the fullest with a partner who really believes in them. So thank you so much for both being here with us today.
Thanks for having us.
We love
it. Thanks so much.
And Brian, how can people find out about our podcast?
If you want to get in touch with us, reach out to enbwpodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow and like us on Facebook.
Thank you so much. We are so grateful to have you listening again. Please like, subscribe, and share, and we'll see y'all later. Thanks. Bye.
See ya.